Okay, action in 3, 2, 1. Hey guys, and welcome. How do I normally start it?
Hello, and welcome to the show. Yes,
hello. Like that.
Hey yeah. Guys, how do I usually start?
The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and family closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up. Seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we got Will Meadows,
Sarah Meadows,
Kevin Delp,
Melissa Delp,
Katie Pills,
and Ryan Pills
in the house.
This episode, we're talking about 7 games coming to Kickstarter the week of August 27th, 2018.
Woo! Woo! Okay, so the woo that I just gave out was that how is it already the end of August?
Oh. Yeah, it's been a fast month and a lot's happened.
It has. We've done a lot as Tantrum House. We've done a lot of just travel. We talked about that a little bit last week. I've got one more that by the time this goes live will have been a really small trip. Mega Moose Con is happening this coming future, Monday past, whatever, this weekend. So I'm going to that with some friends. It's in Richburg?
Yeah, Richburg, right? South Carolina.
I don't actually know where that is, but I'll find it Friday. But we'll be hanging out with some guys there. Usually, I usually run into several people there. Usually Dice.
Rolling Dice and Taking Names?
Yeah, Rodney and Tony are usually there.
Tony and Marty.
Marty, every time.
That's fine. Tony and Marty.
Although, at big conventions, Rodney Smith does hang out with them, too.
That's true. But he's like the third person.
And sometimes Rory.
Musketeer.
I didn't say Musketeer. That's what I was going for.
Rory Cannaday from Epic Gaming Night's usually there.
Yep, a lot of us are around to them. And then I think Jason and Monica Rasso, who we've been working with on TantrumCon.
TantrumCon, February 15th through 17th, 2019. Are you going to hand off the bookmarks to them?
Yeah, okay. So I'll be handing out some flyers while I'm there and picking up Steam Court as well. When I was at Dice Tower Con, Fisher Heaton Games was gracious enough to sell a couple of Steam Core copies from their booth. So he kept all the games, and now I'm going to get them back from
him. Did you get the money, too?
Hopefully I'll get that, too. We'll see.
Did he really?
He seems like a trustworthy guy.
Okay.
So we'll pick all that up, but hopefully that'll be a lot of fun this weekend. Before then, though, we played a bunch of games tonight. What stuff do you guys want to talk about from tonight?
So a couple published games that Sarah, Melissa, and I played. We played First Spy Club from Foxtrot and Renegade Game Studios. You guys played a prototype of that a while back.
Yeah,
and this was the final copy that we got from their Kickstarter.
And they added more campaigns.
Okay, very cool.
So I don't know all of them, but sounds pretty cool.
I was going to say the artwork seemed pretty similar to what I saw before. I didn't look real close, but it looked like there were some new components too.
I don't know.
There were upgraded things from what we had as the prototype.
Yeah,
so there were a lot of nice finished components.
Did they have that card tray box thing?
Yep.
I remember that before.
That looked good.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Right. Excellent. Did you guys have a good time? Did you win?
We lost.
Oh.
But
that's okay. We got the mechanics of the game down, so now we know how to play.
We were just learning, and then Kevin and I will dive into the campaign so we can do a review video.
Then we played Fruit Ninja Combo Party from Lucky Duck Games.
Yes, I saw that on the table too. How was that?
Fruit Ninja is it's sort of fast-paced in that you're playing cards simultaneously, but everyone plays one card, and if there's matches, there's this katana handle in the middle of the table.
Ooh, yeah.
You're the one that plays a match, two or more, then you're trying to grab the katana handle.
Will you know that you've played the match, or is it like matching other people's cards?
No, it's everybody reveals, and then if you've matched somebody else, you're allowed to grab, which I was rocking it.
Yeah, yeah. So I did really good. I'd grab air. There's a couple times I like got the handle a little bit, but she already had it, so.
And then there was a few times Kevin grabbed it. But there wasn't a match.
I think we all did that once.
So he had
for Sarah.
A penalty. Yeah.
Oh, of course she's a penalty. Yes. Yeah, that makes sense.
So yeah, but you're trying to do either all different fruits or all the same fruit.
And no, this is card drafting, so you have to pay attention to what is in each hand.
Oh, you've handed to other people.
Yes, you're basically every turn handing off the cards.
And it's a push your luck, so you have to decide before you get the next hand, do you want to keep going, or do you think that there won't be something in there that will help you with your combo?
I think this would be a great Tantrum House playthrough at HQ sometime.
Yeah, okay. So, you definitely piqued my interest. Yeah, I want to try it now.
And with like 5 or 6 players, it could be crazy.
So which do you play the app to train for the board game? Do you play the board game?
I think it's just, I don't know how I would say this. It's like it's definitely based off of the app, but it's
the artwork was the same.
I mean,
it's a different experience.
It's definitely a different experience.
But the speed, though, still there, right?
The speed is getting the Catan. There's no slicing of fruit or anything like that.
Okay. Yeah, very cool. It sounds fun.
Yeah, we also started a game of Loveless and Babbage.
Okay, wait, I want to detour for just a second. I'm going to go off the rails for a second. You ready for this? We've been talking about some of our plans for Tantrum Con, and one of the things that I'm leaning towards, I haven't talked to anybody in the room about this yet, is setting up some really, thematic experiences.
Okay.
I don't think I've seen this at other conventions, but I've seen people
throw
this.
Fruit at people, and they're going to chop it down.
I'm leaning towards that. That just sparked the idea. Okay. The idea that I had this afternoon was it'd be really cool to do, a really serious game, one of my favorite games, of Captain Sonar, and do it in a room with cool blue lights and sound effects and food, and then people sign up to play this game, and it's like it ups the ante on what you would normally experience from Captain Sonar.
Cosplaying with the Captain Sonar,
maybe something like that. We'll have to think of a cool name for it. Right. But I was trying to think of foods that matched Captain Sonar. Like, what snack would I eat if I was a
goldfish?
You can have dehydrated something so you can eat it in the submarine.
So then I was what other games would be fun in that scenario? This game is probably a little too quick and easy for a whole setup like that.
Sure.
But it'd be fun to have fruit kebabs while you're.
So this plays Fruit Ninja from Lucky Duck Games plays 3 to 6 players.
Oh, yeah. We need a 20 player version. Right.
But real quick, back to Loveless and Savage from Artana Games.
It is a math game, math programming game.
Yeah, I think we played this at Origins, maybe demo or something. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So we only played through the first round, but it was interesting.
And we'll talk more about it in a few weeks.
Yeah,
because
it'll be coming to Kickstarter
end of September.
Cool. So. I assume the version that I played, which was on scratch paper.
The components are coming along.
Okay. Oh, okay, cool.
So there's a score pad and everything.
Very nice. All right. Looks like a game now. That's awesome. Good to see progress. Always like that.
Yep. And then what did you guys play out in the living room?
Yeah, what were we playing?
There was a game of Luxor going on.
Oh, yes.
From Queen Games.
And then we played Stygian Society from Advanced Primate Entertainment. And we'll be talking about that a little bit later. More during the Kickstarter
connection. Cool.
Segment. Do we have to save it for that? I guess we didn't finish yet, right? It's on.
No, we didn't.
We're
finish it.
9/10 of the way through the game. Six sevenths. How many floors are there?
There's 7.
There's six.
Six floors. Yeah. 5/6 of the way through the game.
Yes.
Oh wow, you guys made it to 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I think we're just starting.
Because didn't we play? We got killed or something.
Yeah. 4/3. There's a mid-level boss, and we got wiped out.
Katie was trying to kill us, I think, but
yeah.
But I was rocking it on the boss killings.
Cool.
All right. Cool. We'll talk about that more soon. Did Melissa have one more game that she was talking about? Or should we do our shout out to our sponsor people?
Wow.
What do we call that? A shout out. Okay, right, shout out, yeah. Shout out seems so wrong. Let's do a shout out to our sponsor.
This episode is sponsored by The Magnets Game and OK to Win Family Games with their game Boom Goes the Dynamite.
Ooh.
And we will have opportunities for you all to win
a copy of each of these?
Yes, the Magnets game and Boom Goes the Dynamite later in the show. Yes. So keep listening.
So we actually have 2 copies of the Magnets game. Mm-hmm. Actually, I have 3 copies, 1 for review and 2 to give away.
Sweet.
We thought we'd give 1 away on the podcast
Sounds good.
Maybe 1 away on our social media. So look forward to that if you follow us on social media, which you should be following us at Tantrum_House. And so the Magnets game, you'll talk about that later, right?
Is that that's in our weekly Kickstarter?
So we'll talk about that, but we might as well talk about Boom Goes the Dynamite.
Okay, let's cover that one.
Because that's probably already on Kickstarter. We were talking to them on Facebook the other day, And it is a matching game with numbers. The card art looks pretty cool. It's got this like
explosive vectorness.
Yeah, it's kind of it's got like different like reds and oranges, and so the mission is you're trying to ignite as many matches as you can by using special cards and strategy and a little bit of memory, and it says a little bit of luck.
Okay.
So
okay.
I don't know how that works. But it says the cards in the matchbox are constantly changing, and sometimes everything explodes. Hence the name. Boom goes the dynamite. Hopefully it doesn't like literally explode.
I mean,
I'm thinking there's just a dynamite in the box that comes out. So.
How many players?
It is 2 to 6 players, okay. And it says it plays in about 15 minutes.
So party game style.
Yeah.
Cool, cool.
So
we need to get our hands on something or see, I don't know, check it out because it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, so if they fund on Kickstarter, which I hope they will, we will also give away a copy of Boom Goes Dynamite on our Kickstarter. So 2 sponsors.
Cool, very cool. So does that roll us right into our Kickstarter conniption? Let's do it.
Kickstarter conniption.
All right, Kevin, why don't you start us off?
Well, the first game that we're going to talk about tonight is Thieves Den from Daily Magic Games. This is actually set in the same world as 10 Minute Heist, The Wizard's Tower, which was Kickstartered a little while back from them. And as you can tell, it is about thieves, and they're trying to collect different rewards and gold and jewels. And in the game, it's there's some card drafting that's going on and some worker placement. So everyone has their own sort of board that they are collecting or have their own thieves that they have, and they're sending them out in the world of this 10-minute heist.
Right, but the interesting thing is you don't have your own colored thieves. So if you send a thief out to someone else's building, so if I put a thief out on Will's building, at the end of the round, Will gets to keep that thief.
Ooh.
As a worker. So if you entice people to your buildings, you get more workers.
Right. And that's where the card drafting comes in, because at the beginning of each round, players get a hand of these location cards, and you're going to be drafting them at the beginning of each round, and you're going to be like, oh, this is a really good card that people might want to come to, but the resources are limited, and there are certain locations that you want because it gives you extra points in the game.
Yeah, so there's a set collection aspect.
So you're like, oh, this is really have my set, but this card's really cool.
Interesting.
And it could help me get some of those thieves, which helps you get more workers. So it's got this really nice push and pull on that. And there's the card art's really cool, and there's some fences where you're basically giving up the or trying to get resources to get points. At those.
Not as like picket fences, but someone you're fencing stolen goods to.
Okay. Yes, sorry.
All right, that sounds cool.
Yeah, it's 2 to 5 players, plays in about 30 to 45 minutes.
And Melissa and I will be doing a video preview of this soon, so look for that on our YouTube channel. Melissa.
Cool.
So on August 27th, we're going to see Guildmaster from Good Games Publishing. This is the same company that did Unfair, so they know how to put together a game and fulfill a Kickstarter. This game is for 2 to 4 players, and it plays in about 1 hour to 2 hours.
Probably depending on the number of players.
Mm-hmm. And how long it takes people to program.
Right. I think the more familiar you are with it, it's definitely going to be faster. It's one of those things you need to wrap your head around. But Melissa, continue on.
Yeah, so the game basically, each person has a board and there's a screen that you put up so people can't tell what you're doing. And you're allocating your guild members to go on certain spaces on the board. So it's programming, I would say. For the first thing I want to do is build, and then the second thing I want to try to fulfill a contract. Well, we're all programming secretly, and then we lift our screens, and then we see who actually does the orders first.
Yeah, so you could be like, you could hire builders, you can get more adventurers, you can fulfill contracts, like Melissa said, but the order that you do it matters, because someone else could hire an adventurer that you basically had programmed to do later in that turn.
Yeah, so if Kevin programs in slot one that he wants to hire the adventurer, the same one that I wanted, but I had it programmed in slot two, he's going to get there before I do.
Gotcha.
So he's going to...
The nice thing is the game has a mechanic that if you are sort of left out of that, there's this wander sort of turn that you can do and do other things.
Okay, so that's cool.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not like you're like, oh, I guess that was done.
Right. Turn number three, I haven't done anything.
Right.
So there's definitely that that programming aspect that goes into it, and then there's also some bidding. You can place money onto your spaces to try to have a higher bid to get the people that you want to put into your guild. So if I offer $8 and Kevin only offers $7, then the person's going to come to me instead.
And the one thing is, there is some dice rolling in the game, and a lot of people may like dice rolling, depending on if it's like dice work or placement. This one's actually more of, you're going to collect these adventurers that they can roll different colored dice, or different colored dice. And you're using those dice to fulfill contracts. So you're like, oh, I need to roll a 10, 11, or 12, depending on the contract. And you're saying, oh, my adventurers can roll 3 or 4 purple dice. You can roll those, and hopefully you're be able to complete the contract that way. So there is a little bit of output randomness instead of input randomness, as we would say.
Yeah, you're building up your guild, your crew of adventurers, to then send them out to do things. And if you have a lot of the matching symbols, then you can roll more dice of that type.
Which is always fun.
Cool. Very cool.
But yeah, you played over several rounds, and whoever has the most points wins.
So that's Guildmaster from Good Games Publishing.
Ryan.
Coming August 28th from Advanced Primate Entertainment is Stygian Society. And we talked about this a little bit at the beginning of the show, but this is a game where you have this tower, and every turn you are trying to make your way up the different levels of the tower by taking actions, and each action you will pour in some cubes of a certain color for that action, plus some of the enemy's colored cubes. And then they don't all come out of the tower. Some of them get stuck in there. And depending on what comes out, you're able to have different effects with the different action cards that your character might have. And if enough of the enemy's cubes come out, then one of the enemy's actions trigger and it wounds the party. It's a cooperative game, so everybody's working together, and you take on the roles of a burglar, a knight, a doctor, and a spellslinger, and everybody has their own little niche that they have to fill to contribute to the party. And so basically you're playing through 6 floors, 6 different combination of enemies. On the 3rd floor, you fight a mini-boss, and on the 6th floor, you always fight the wizard of that tower, and you have to overcome the wizard to win the game. And it's been pretty fun so far. There's a lot of interesting card interactions, and you get to pick a little bit what actions you get, because there's a leveling system, and every time you level up, you get to pick a new card. So you really have to think strategically about how to contribute to the group as a whole. We've been having a lot of fun with it. And we'll be having a Kickstarter preview video.
You and Katie?
Yes. It should be live as of this show.
All right.
So, all right.
Cool.
It's got a pretty cool art style. I enjoyed that. It feels it reminded me of like a slightly darker version of like Disney's Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Okay. Oh, yeah. The art style.
Kind of, yeah, like sure, the sure. Everybody like kind of masquerading around a little bit, sure. And even the tower, maybe. I don't know.
I think it's interesting that their name, Advanced Primate Entertainment, spells ape. Ape games.
So clever.
That's very clever.
I enjoyed the game as well. I agree with Ryan. The best part of the game is like stacking your character with those abilities that make your character crazy stronger if you get the right combination. So like, I was one card allowed me to like deal an extra blue cube to the tower every time, and then the next power up was like, if you deal one thing, then deal 4 more things, and then the next one was like, if you deal 4, multiply times 1,000. No, it was pretty awesome though. It was
cool.
Yeah, like I got a passive ability from my character's leveling up that he got to deal an additional wound every time he dealt a wound, but then when you defeat the enemies in a level and you go to the next level, you reveal treasure cards, and those you get to deal out to different people. I got some that emphasized projectile weapons, so I was getting to the point where every time I did a projectile attack, I was dealing like 4 bonus damage. It was very satisfying.
Yes, I agree.
Good stuff. Some people might not like the randomness of the cubes, but it was kind of fun to dump like a whole handful of cubes into the tower and see what comes out.
And there is, I do think, definitely some strategy in that too, because there were some places where, like, I was rocking it with blue cubes, but I could only put in like three or four. But if Ryan rested on his turn, he could throw in like six blue cubes on his turn before it got to my turn, which ups my chances of knocking a bunch of blue cubes out of the tower, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, and you definitely want to pay attention to what the person in front of you is focusing on.
Right.
As like their starting ability,
because it is co-op. I think you said yeah. that, but we're working
so
together.
So Katie and I both had a white cube ability, and so it meant that she was going first. She'd use up all the white cubes in the tower, and then I wouldn't have anything to use when it came to my turn. But yeah, it was pretty fun. August 28th, Will.
What also, August 28th is Starcadia Quest from CMON. It's in the same universe as Arcadia Quest.
Well,
but,
same universe, but not the same universe.
Well, it is in the universe. So instead of being in, like, on the Earth or wherever they were in Starcadia Quest, they're now in outer space. They're still fighting the evil Dr. Supreme Commander Thorn, and they are, it's a 2-4 player game, and it's basically a campaign continuation of the story. So it's a standalone, it's his own game, mm-hmm. but same cute little chubby mini character dudes, same basic fighting structure.
I heard,
but whole new world.
One changes, instead of controlling three characters, you only have to control two characters. So I think it makes it a little easier for families.
Oh, maybe, very possibly. So. 2-4 players, same basic play length. It's from a bunch of great designers, including Eric Lang, and it's coming August 28th, Starcadia Quest. Sarah, what are you looking at?
Coming August 30th from Eagle Griffin Games is Infamous.
Ooh.
This is a 2-5 player game that takes between 60 to 120 minutes. So an hour to 2 hours, probably based on player count and how successful you are as a villain. You are strategizing against the other villains to become the most famous or infamous villain in the world. So you will start by card drafting and trying to build your own secret base, however you would like it to be, and then hire some henchmen, and then you'll be sending those henchmen out to do contracts and try and gain infamy. Cool. So that one is coming August 30th. Kevin, what else are you talking about?
I'm going to talk about a game coming September 1st, but I'm going to try and tease it a little bit and see if you guys can guess something.
Mm.
All right. And this is for the audience, too. So think about this a second. I have a game.
Okay.
It is for just 2 players.
Okay.
It is a medium weight worker placement game. And there's some puzzly things happening, too, like a little puzzle game happening. How big? Oh, I'll tell you. And the length of the game is about an hour long.
Okay.
How big of a box do you think this is? Just give me
worker placement?
It's a worker placement, medium weight game that plays in about an hour. Plus, it's not just worker placement plus a puzzle. Like puzzle-y.
Ticket to Ride size.
Okay, Sarah says Ticket to Ride size box.
I mean, I think it could fit smaller, like okay. Rec Raiders.
Rec Raiders is like half Ticket to Ride size.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm guessing this is a trick and it's like the size of a deck of cards.
Okay. Melissa already met. So this
Gloomhaven size.
This game is it's going to give it away. That's why I didn't say the name of the game. The name of the game is called Micro Brew.
Okay.
And
so tiny.
It fits in the size of a an Altoids tin box.
Oh, wow.
So
oh,
Ryan was the closest.
Even smaller, cool. though. Yeah.
So kind of about the same
like
size
Mint
as Mintworks
yep.
and
yeah,
Mintworks
and Delivery. Yep.
But so. By a different company.
Yes. This is from One Free Elephant Games, and Microbrew is coming to Kickstarter on September 1st. Like I said, it's for 2 players, plays in about an hour. Basically, you are doing, you're basically have this copper, which is you're putting all what they call warts in, to create the brew.
Okay.
And different colors, so you'd like the lighter colors rise to the top, and they're little like tokens.
Have you played it or just seen it?
No, okay. We played it.
Are the warts like the size of an eraser tip, or how big are we talking?
Yes.
Are they?
About that size. Maybe a little bigger.
So
like that
scale, big. 2-scale wart sizes.
Yes. And basically the lighter warts go to the top and the darker ones go to the bottom, and that's the puzzly nature of the game, is because you can only swap different colored like warts going up in your copper, which is kind of fun to do that puzzly nature of the game.
Because you're trying to get the certain colors in a column, and then when you brew your ale and beer, you take all the colors from...
Melissa's using a profuse amount of air quotes. I just want everyone to know. That entire sentence was air quotes.
And then basically you're trying to get them lined up so with the right colors to bottle it. And then those bottles there's different customers that want those types. So, and then you're basically trying to, the goal of the game is to get loyal customers. And whoever has the most loyal customers at the end of the game wins.
Okay, cool. So, sounds interesting.
Yeah, it was interesting about that. So, Sarah and Will, you have something else? Yeah.
One more. Guess how big this game that's sitting on the table in front
of me. I'm holding it in my hand.
This game also comes in a small tin.
Yes.
And is Magnets the Game.
Woohoo!
That's the one that we're giving away at the end of the show, so keep listening. But we want to give you a quick rundown of what it is because it's on Kickstarter probably September 1st, probably.
Yeah, probably September 1st. Maybe the right before or right after.
Look for it that first week. It's a very, very simple game that at first I wasn't like a huge fan of, but after playing it a couple times, I'm actually kind of a fan.
Yeah, your kids looked like they were really into it.
Yeah.
Your boys pulled it out and were playing it like tonight. It was pretty cool.
I thought it was something they'd made up at first. Because it looked like there was like a strap or something.
Right. So the game comes in a Altoids or what
circular.
This reminds me of a shoe polish.
That's a good
tin. Shoe polish tin.
It comes with like a bunch of little small magnets and then this rope belt or a rubber belt strap, and it all fits in there real perfect.
It's really cool.
You pull it out, you extend the belt to make a giant ring, and then you give each player 5 magnets, and then you put the rest of the magnets randomly out in the
inside the loop.
Yeah.
And then on their turn, players take a turn throwing a magnet into the circle and trying to get it to connect with 4 other or more magnets inside.
Yeah, so if you can get at least 4 magnets to connect, you can pick them up into your hand. So you are eliminated from the game if you ever run out.
If you miss the strap entirely, which I'm really good at, then that magnet actually goes to whoever the poorest player is, or whoever has the least. And then basically you play until all the magnets are gone. The cool thing is that because they're magnets, you can pull off some really crazy shots.
I saw your boys tonight pulling off some crazy shots.
So you flick it in and it connects to one, and then those two roll together across the table.
It's the classic
to another
game of marbles,
but with magnets. And then magnets make it way more interesting.
Yeah, it looks really cool.
It's called... Magnus the Marbles of the 21st Century or something like that.
Yeah.
Very cool.
It's real simple. It fits in your pocket real easy. We actually took it to youth group last night or whenever we were at church last and played it with the teens and they were having a blast. It plays... The magnets are actually like... I was nervous when we played on our dining room table. I was like, ugh, why am I throwing magnets at my dining room table? They're just the right weight that they don't like do any damage. They're light enough.
Okay.
But they're still meaty enough that you're like holding them
in your
hand.
They're still strong. The magnets are strong enough that they do attract each other and will roll on the table.
Very cool. Pretty nice little clean package.
Cool.
Stay tuned to learn how you can win it. And in case you aren't going to be our lucky one winner, you should go check out their Kickstarter beginning of September because it looks like it's worth playing a game of.
Cool.
So we didn't get any feedback on this yet because this episode is being recorded at the same moment the other one is going live. But I'm pretty sure everybody loved Larry the Intern's last segment. So we've got him here again with a time... This is my fourth take, y'all. Leave it live. We're keeping going. Here it is.
Will's
with our
tantrum timeout.
Tantrum House timeout.
There it is with Larry.
Go, Larry.
It's the 60-second Tantrum House timeout.
Why would you even play this game?
Where we save you from playing the games that you wish you never played. Here's your host... Larry the Intern.
Today on the timeout, we're about to get kind of weird. We're talking about Ancestry by Calliope Games. Okay, first of all, let's address the elephant in the studio, please. If you're considering a pun for the title of your game that's about to launch on Kickstarter, don't. Unless you're cool with mockery, shunnings, and being called out in the timeout. As for the game Ancestry itself, designers, a word about the rulebook. Next meeting, please consider using a less cluttered layout. Oh, and that font? Picking the childish and the don't take me seriously fonts? Not the best idea. I also take issue with the game's goal. All right, the rulebook states, and I quote, "You're out to prove that you have the greatest lineage of them all." All right, let's revisit the word greatest, because randomly flipping character tiles is a recipe for disaster and not success. The game progresses into weird family connections, and the artwork is more of an insult than a depiction of the people. Now, to its credit, Ancestry is easy to learn and fast to play, but I give this uncomfortable game to Awkward Family Hugs out of 5.
Thanks, Larry, for that Tantrum House timeout. And now we're going to talk about our giveaway. Listen in and see how you can win a copy of Magnets and Boom Goes the Dynamite.
All right, so for these two games, what you need to do is email us at hello@tantrumhouse.com.
Hello@tantrumhouse.com.
And guess how many magnets you think are in a game of Magnus the Game, and we will randomly pick two people from that list, and one will get a copy of Magnus the Game, the other will get a copy of Boom Goes the Dynamite. Make sure you check out both of those Kickstarters, and remember to email us at hello@tantrumhouse.com to be entered to win.
So you got a week. We'll announce winners next week, and no, not next week.
A couple weeks.
In 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And yes.
Yes, because they're not going to get it for a week. But whatever. Okay. It's
2 weeks. Sounds goodish. All right. I don't know what the date is on that anyway, but enter now, because this is when you want to think about
it. It's like September 7th or 8th, so we'll pick a winner.
If you're hearing this right now and it's not 6 p.m. on Monday night, then you should plan to join us for our game night this month. We are headed out there tonight, Monday, last Monday of every month. We hang out at the Red Barn on Pleasantburg Drive in Greenville, South Carolina. We'd love to have you come. We always have a good turnout, and we'd love for you guys to join us too. And what else we got?
Anything else we got on? Tickets going on sale soon for Tantrum Con.
Can't believe it.
So very, very soon, we have one more big meeting that we need to have a video conference with all our partners. Mm-hmm. And after that, we are going to put tickets on sale. But we could do a little sneak peek, can't we?
Sure.
I think we have confirmed that Richard Lanius is going to be one of the guests of honor at our Tantrum Con.
Yeah.
So what has Richard Lanius done?
Can you think of anything?
Well, I think there's this game called Arkham Horror.
Yeah, that's one of
pretty
big one.
Yeah.
He's had his hand in many, many, many of the Lovecraftian games, especially with Fantasy Flight games. So you have Mansions of Madness, and you have Eldritch Horror and other things like that.
Elder Sign.
One of our favorites, Elder Sign.
So I think there's actually a top secret one that I'm probably not supposed to talk about, but I saw somebody else talk about it, so I'm totally going to say what they said.
Okay.
And that is that Richard Lanius is currently working on an X-Men Legacy game.
Actually,
what?
Yes.
I'm so pumped about that.
We played.
I know. A long while back.
It has been announced. So we're allowed to talk that there is a game, but we can't talk about what's in the game.
But if you want to know, email me secretly.
And he also did the Batman animated series.
Yeah, for IDW. Yeah.
That's coming out.
Yep.
So many cool games, for sure.
So we're very happy that Richard is coming to Tantrum Con. That's February 15th, 16th, and 17th, 2019. We want you to be there as well. So if you're listening to this, make sure that you go to tantrumcon.com to find out more.
Yeah, we've got some details there. There'll be a bunch more coming soon. And then once we have those tickets ready, we will give you all the information that we got. But feel free to check now. You can actually, if you want, you can subscribe on that page, and we'll give you updates as we get closer. So that's a great way to let us know that you're interested, which we super appreciate, and to just get more information as soon as it's available. I think that pretty much wraps it up. Thank you so much for joining in.
Or joining in.
All those things. Take luck, y'all.
Thanks for listening.
Catch you next time.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard. Thank you.
I didn't get to talk about my Marvel collection.
It's fine.